The sermon's entitled Trying to Restrain Jesus. Some of you remember this song, Crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy for trying, crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you. That was a song by Patsy Cline. And as a child, my parents loved Patsy Cline, so we heard her music constantly in my house growing up. Some of you may remember Ross Perot, a U.S. businessman who ran for president in 1992 and 1996. He was a very blunt and sometimes humorous figure, and many people called him crazy. Well, he decided to make a joke out of it, and he adopted that song by Patsy Cline as his campaign theme song. If they were going to call him crazy, he was going to sing that song every time, Crazy. He was very much of a character, and some people really loved him, and others really were concerned by his crazy antics. But you have to admire the fact that he could laugh at himself even and adopt that song. It's rare that somebody can take the label of crazy and turn it into a positive image for themselves because it has such negative connotations. To call somebody crazy is to imply that nothing is right. Anything they say or do might be off. You can't trust somebody who has the label crazy because they're unpredictable. So how could it be that Jesus' family could come to the conclusion that Jesus was out of his mind? In less than three full chapters in the Gospel of Mark, just before the incident where Jesus' family thinks he's gone crazy, Jesus had healed a man with a demon. He had healed Peter's mother-in-law who was sick. He had healed countless others who began to hear about what he was doing. He healed a leper. He healed a paralyzed man whose friends cut a hole in the roof so that they could get him to Jesus. All these wonderful things that Jesus had done. And there was this rumor out there that he was crazy. Well, the religious leaders were very concerned, as we talked about last week, and they were already lining up against Jesus and plotting to destroy him. All of this attention, all these strange people coming and being healed, all these religious leaders in conflict with Jesus, so much spiritual power to help people that Jesus was demonstrating, it was very upsetting to his family. They began to feel insecure. It was their insecurity about all this work that Jesus was doing that produced this feeling that maybe something really was wrong. After all, the Jesus they knew was just a carpenter, a very simple man. He had a nice job in Nazareth building things, but having the masses of people chasing him for help, having these people angry and in conflict with him, and everybody knowing him, this was not in the family plan. So they go to find Jesus, to talk some sense into him, and bring him back home. Can't you picture Mary saying to the family, he thinks he's God, and now he's acting like it. How far is this going to go? We can see how the family might have been unnerved. Most of us want things in our lives to be settled and secure with our families, our jobs, our church, where we know the people that are around us, where we know how they're going to behave, and pretty much know what's going to happen. But when you read the first three chapters of Mark, It is clear that Jesus is challenging the status quo, not only of the religion, but of the whole society, by his actions and words. Reverend David Lose points out that Jesus, quote, is challenging the status quo at every turn. He's healing those that everybody was used to having them be sick for years. He's casting out demons from all those people that everybody knew were crazy. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's working wonders with this new kind of power and authority that people were not used to seeing from their usual leaders. So those leaders and many others find this disruption of the status quo very distracting and disturbing. We forget sometimes how comforting the status quo is, even if we don't particularly like it. Did you know that, for instance, they say that winning the lottery is as stressful and upsetting for some people as losing a loved one? Change, even change for the better, is hard because we as a species tend to prefer homeostasis, things to stay the same, to be balanced, to be familiar, not to change. Another reason Jesus is seen as at least provocative and perhaps downright dangerous is that he is offering the people who are oppressed some hope. Hope that their lives might improve. Hope that God is doing something new. Hope that they don't have to be satisfied with the lot in life that they have received, but that there might be something more for them in life. The world is set up with some people on the top and some people on the bottom. And when the people on the bottom begin to realize they don't have to stay there anymore, that upsets some of the people on the top. Another reason is that Jesus seems so more capable than those who are in charge, so more powerful, so clearly more in tune with God than they are. So his adversaries attack him at precisely this point, charging that his power and authority must not come from God, but it comes from the devil. Jesus' response to that, which many of us have heard over and over through history, thanks to Abraham Lincoln quoting this from Jesus, is that a house divided cannot stand. And similarly, you will not see Satan casting out Satan. That's what they were accusing Jesus of. So in light of all this opposition, perhaps it's easier to understand why Jesus' family was so concerned. Maybe they were worried that he was at risk from fickle crowds who adore him one day, but the next day shout, "Crucify him." Maybe they were worried that he was attracting the wrong kind of opponents in this powerful group of religious leaders from Jerusalem. Maybe they were afraid that all that attention he was getting would go to his head. Or maybe they just wanted him back home, to be back where it was safe, familiar, and, quote, normal. Whatever their motives were, Jesus would tolerate neither his opponents nor his family interrupting the proclamation of God's kingdom and both the hope that it creates and the disruption that it creates. If we want a comfortable gospel that affirms the status quo, Jesus is probably not the person we want to follow. Jesus' gospel is always upsetting things, upending things, reversing things, inviting us to see that God has more in store for us than we imagined, more than we would even hope for. New life is threatening because it calls into questions the lives that we've gotten used to. But that's the promise of the gospel. When it's proclaimed, those who are most satisfied probably aren't sure why they came, while those who are down and out are eager for a chance to come to the message of hope that Jesus is proclaiming. This can be embarrassing, especially for those of us who are satisfied with the way things are, with who we are, and where we are at this point in life. No doubt, but it can also be life-changing for anyone who is willing to risk really, truly believing the message of Jesus. Pastor Teresa F. Latini shares a revealing conversation with a pastor friend of hers. She shares, quote, that recently a pastor friend told me about a group of people in his congregation who dreaded the church growing. The membership of this Protestant urban church, which had been declining for decades, had begun to grow in the past 3 years. Some of those people were opposing the pastor, saying, "We don't want to become one of those mega churches." They protested about outreach to new people. Their resistance, which seemed irrational on the surface, emerged from their insecurity. They feared that they would lose their precious gift of community with one another. But how sad to think that we can't open our hearts. One of my favorite examples of that is the Grinch. His heart was teeny tiny, but it had the ability to grow. And so do we. We can welcome as many people as possible because God's love is unlimited. And when we are God's people being filled with the Spirit, our love, too, can be unlimited. We can take in new people and still love our old friends. Fear of change can cause people to do strange things. A desire for the familiar can blind people from seeing what God can do and what God is doing. Remember, crazy can actually be a good thing. It was God who was crazy enough to send Jesus in the first place, to people who needed him but may not understand him. It was God who was crazy enough to leave Jesus at the mercy of people. God was crazy enough to allow some of those people to crucify Christ. And God was crazy enough to demonstrate the power of love, forgiveness, and redemption, and new beginnings. Yes, Jesus' family was right. He was crazy, but he got it from his Father in heaven. He loved, he healed, he did his Father's will without thought for himself. How crazy are we willing to be to follow him? Can we put aside our need to have things stay exactly as they are in our church, in our community, in our personal lives, so that crazy Jesus can heal us and change us and release us and kick out the demons within us and show us how to love without limits or any abandon? Can we be crazy enough to include everyone that Jesus included on God's list of family? And say, "Here are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters. Whether they're gay or straight, black or white, old or young, American or some other country, some other language." Have we ever considered that at times we too may be guilty of trying to restrain Jesus? When we refuse to go along with the will of God, because it's something new. Can you imagine what would have happened if Jesus' family had been successful and saying, "Come on, Jesus, you deserve a rest. Let's go back home. You can open up your carpentry shop again. You won't have all these troubles. Life will be so much easier for you, Jesus. We wouldn't be sitting here today if they had succeeded. But I tell you, God will not be restrained. Jesus said, if the people don't praise God, the stones will cry out. If we refuse to do God's will because it's something different, something new, something hard, God will send someone else in our place. But we will be deprived of the honor and the blessing of doing God's will. Jesus has called every one of us, not just the pastors, every one of us as baptized Christians are ministers in the name of Christ. And he has called us to follow him, to trust him, that he is leading us to the heart of God. There's no reason for us to be afraid. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now, the songwriter proclaims. We don't ever need to restrain Jesus, but to stand up and follow him wherever he asks us to go and to be willing to do God's will. Amen.